I want you to understand, here are the stated goals of the climate strike, which you can see for yourself at globalclimatestrike.net. In quotes, to ensure a rapid energy revolution with equity, reparations, and climate justice at its heart, end of quote. I mean, they want a total ban on fracking, exploration, and other extraction techniques. No new coal projects. No mention of hundreds of thousands out of work in Canada, by the way, or millions worldwide. They reject carbon capture and all other what they call techno fixes. I want you to think about that one. Reduce emissions without technological advancement. Can anyone find a scientist who thinks that's realistic? They reject private property rights. Did you ever wonder what happened to the G7 or G8, G20 anti-capitalist protesters? Well, many are behind the climate strikes. Just go to climatestrike.org, see for yourself. This is what public education is endorsing. The goal of the climate strikers isn't to reduce emissions, or better put, find a way to power our society while dramatically reducing emissions at an acceptable cost. Instead, catastrophic climate change is the vehicle for a political agenda as reflected in their stated goals, including things like transferring tens of billions of dollars in wealth redistribution from developed nations to underdeveloped ones. Yet school boards in BC, many others in the educational establishment across the country, mindlessly supported the strike while the media uncritically reported on it. A victory for everyone in favor of superficiality on this incredibly complex issue. But there's far more to it than that. For well over a year, it's been obvious the new strategy of climate activists and their political and media allies is to announce that climate change is an emergency, a catastrophe, even extinction is just around the corner if we don't act immediately. Just this month, The New Yorker ran a headline in quotes, "What if we stop pretending the climate apocalypse can be stopped?" End of quote. I mean, do you think that the fact that we've seen Armageddon so regularly predicted before, you remember the things like the fallout from acid rain or the depletion of the ozone layer, the coming ice age, Paul Ehrlich got very popular talking about the population bomb, Al Gore's declaration that the polar ice caps would all melt by 2014. One of my personal favorites, the International Panel on Climate Change forecast there'd be no snow in the Himalayas by now, only to admit later that there was absolutely no science behind the supported claim. It was in the report, but they'd taken it from the Sierra Club and bogusly claimed it was scientifically backed. So given that, before accepting the alarmist claim that extinction is around the corner if the Earth warms by, say, 2 or 3 or 4%, you'd think we'd ask for the science, especially given so many children are being told they're going to die. What you should note is that the term climate denier now covers anyone, including well-known climate scientists who are on record as saying climate change is real, action must be taken, but they dare to question the alarmist agenda, including insisting on reviewing the various cost-benefit analysis of policy recommendations. And sadly, school boards in cities like Vancouver and Surrey and other across Canada endorse this no questions, no critical thinking allowed of the alarmist agenda, regardless of the lack of scientific research to back up claims of catastrophe if, as 16-year-old media darling Greta Thunberg states, we don't take action in the next 5 years. Let me come back just for a second to the climate strike goals as an illustration. The elimination of all fossil fuels by 2030, the move to 100% renewables, popular refrain espoused in the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez Green New Deal. But you might also want to note that when she was pressed about that 2030 timeline, she said, if you believe it, you literally have to have the intelligence of a sea sponge. The co-author of the International Panel on Climate Change report, James Skia, simply stated that the IPCC, in quotes, did not say we have 12 years left to save the world, end of quote. Someone should have told the students. But it's far more than the timeline. It's the simplicity of the proposed solutions to such a complex problem that the students should be made aware of. I wonder if they know that building one wind turbine requires 900 tons of steel, something like 2,500 to 3,000 tons of concrete, 40 tons of non-recyclable plastic. All of that, of course, manufactured with high CO2 emissions. What about solar panels? Well, there is a well-documented problem right now surrounding what to do with old ones. According to the International Renewable Energy Agency, the Paris Accord's solar goals for 2050 will necessitate disposing of old panels that are the equivalent of more than double the total tonnage of all the world's plastic waste today. The point is, it's not as easy as it sounds to simply demand 100% renewable energy in just over a decade. Too bad the educational establishment, including some teachers, are satisfied with sloganeering over critical thinking. The fact is, since 1992, Rio de Janeiro Earth Summit, our use of renewable energy has increased by from 13.1% of the total energy needs to just 14.2%. The student should be discussing the reasons why the overwhelming consensus from people as diverse as Bill Gates to James Hansen, that's the scientist who first introduced global warming in 1988, stating that renewables cannot replace fossil fuels. In fact, James Hansen goes so far as to calling the idea grotesque. And he's got a lot of company in the climate change community, as well as the Gates Foundation, who after extensive study with some of the top scientists, engineers on the planet, concluded that the only viable way to replace energy from fossil fuels and dramatically reducing emissions was to develop a new way of harnessing nuclear energy. It's called traveling wave reactors, which would run on depleted uranium. I mean, the foundation's already committed over $1 billion to the project. You know, Canada's educational establishment regularly states that the goal is to teach students to think critically. Well, the climate alarmism they endorse is the antithesis of that. The climate strike organizers have no interest in critical evaluation of their agenda and demands, which are anti-science, anti-technology, a lot of anti-freedom. But to say nothing of how glibly they're pushing so many people out of work, maybe 400,000 in Canada, millions worldwide. But one final point, I could go on. This is a big subject. There's lots to talk about. Only one final point. That's the time. And it's arguably the biggest irony of the climate strikes. The student protesters don't show any sign that they're aware that no generation in history has consumed more petroleum product than theirs, be it the plastic in their cell phones, popular fashion sneakers, polyester in their clothes. No generation has consumed more electricity, thanks to things like streaming video and texting and Instagram. Using a cell phone for just an hour a day produces a ton of CO2 emissions annually. And come on, it's a good bet that a lot of those students are using their phones a lot more than an hour a day. Worse still, a lot of those young people trade in their phones, not because they don't work, but because they want the latest, which further increases the carbon footprint. The generation protesting has traveled more by air, consumed more goods that come from more places in the world than ever before, lived in homes that on average are bigger, consume more energy than any other time in history. You know what would have been impressive? If the climate strikers had made a major gesture demonstrating their commitment to take action. After all, that's what they're demanding. They could have maybe all got together and thrown their cell phones into a big pile at the center of the protest, pledged not to take a car for any distance under 3 kilometers, and instead walk. You know what? Past generations did that. But no, they didn't make any such gesture. No change in lifestyle promised. And that's the big irony, because the protests are about leaders who Greta Thunberg correctly points out are all talk and no action. Chalk another one up for virtue signaling.